we were not supposed to be discussing the corner of Ezra, Chafifa, just to backtrack for a moment. In the Torah, one has to be careful that one doesn't have any chatzitzas on one's body, one's hair, when one goes to the mikvah. Therefore, in the Torah, you have to look for Yud Yal, you have to just check yourself very quickly, it shouldn't take that long to check. From the Ravona, in the days of Ezra, the Misaka, there has to be a much more formal preparation, and that takes the place to the principle called, to the process called Chafifa. There was a question in Rishonim whether Chafifa refers specifically to the hair, whether it applies to the body also. But Lemaisa, but all the dust that was applied to everything, either the Torah is dinner, the Torah is minig, that a woman has to make sure that she goes through her hair properly before goes to the mikvah, goes through all the hair and all parts of her body properly. She has to go through her body as well, bathing, showering, etc. So then the Gemara had a discussion, the end of itself was neither, just about the proper timing of Chafifa. And we saw that there are really almost contradictory factors that are pulling us in different directions. On the one hand, we'd like the chatzitza to be as late as possible, because we want to minimize any potential problem of chatzitza developing after chatzitza. On the other hand, we don't want to be so late, because then she's going to be nervous and in a rush, it's going to be late at night, it's dark, and she's not going to do a thorough job. So therefore, we want to make it a little bit earlier as well. So what do we do? Which way do we go? So there's machlekes in the Gemara, machlekes Rishon HaPaskim, what the Moskalas in the Gemara is, basically boils down to machlekes Rashi and the Shiltas. That Rashi's opinion was that you have to do a chafifa mibba odiyom. So a woman's going to the mikvah on a Tuesday night, so she should do the ikra chafifa Tuesday late in the afternoon. And according to the Shiltas, the ikra didn't be passed like the other possibility in the Gemara, so she should actually do it on Tuesday night. So it's because of this machlokes that we take a look on page 39. So the Shulchan Aruch, the 11th and the Ram Kamos. So on the one hand, you want to make the chafifa close to the tefillah. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that the minhag kosher, the proper custom is to at least begin the chafifa mibiyod yom Tuesday afternoon. But the Shulchan Aruch is siding with the opinion of the Shiltas, because he presents it, the real din is that the chafifa samach tefillah. So that's what really should happen. Should do it late. So he's saying don't wait to do the whole thing late. Start a little bit early, but it's important to have a little bit done at night as well to follow the view of the Shiltas. The chayim minhag kosher, Shulchan Aruch continues. That even though the woman has done all the chafifa at home, days and Shulchan Aruch doing the chafifa at home, she should bring a comb, brush some with her to the base of the mikvah itself, and recomb her hair right then and there, literally right before she goes into the mikvah itself. Obviously, b'zman hazeh things are a little bit different because the mikvahs today have not only just holes in the ground to be totaled in, but they have baths and showers as well. There are different styles of how a woman wants to do it. Some women like to do all the preparations in the mikvah itself. So they'll come to the mikvah a little bit earlier, late in the afternoon. They'll do everything, they bathe and shower, everything in the mikvah. And many women are more comfortable doing their preparations at home. So they do the preparations at home. So then the minute is that they usually just do a quick shower. Again, when they get to the mikvah, they come through the hair once again, following this recommendation of the Shulchan Aruch. Then there are some mikvahs that have express line. The express line that everything is done. Everything is done at home. The mamash comes to the mikvah and ready to go. But the truth is that all mikvahs have that on Friday night. The other night, it's always going to be like that. But to have that during the week, so there are some mikvahs who don't like that idea. Some yen, some no. Again, different practices. What's just the best strategic move? But in terms of the ikra, it is that as long as there's a chafifa or chachil being done by yom, chachil being done by night, so that's okay. If for whatever reason none of that happened, that take a look at the Ramah continues, my Ramah number 11.
What if she has to do the chafifa b'yom, or she has to do the chafifa b'leila, she can't do it both. So she can do either one is acceptable with the evid. The only thing is we should be careful that if she's really doing a chafifa only at night, so then she should really try to slow things down. Shouldn't run into that problem of doing a quick chafifa, which was the whole reason why we didn't want her to do it at night in the first place. So the post can write that we tell women that they should be involved in the chafifa at least for an hour. It can be more than an hour, but it should be less than an hour. A woman is preparing less than an hour, that's including the bath, showering, doing nails, and cleaning up. If it's taking less than an hour, she's doing too quick. If it's taking 5 hours, she's doing too slow. Or she should do an hour plus, a little bit. That's considered to be within the realm of normal mikvah preparations. But then the issue becomes complicated because sometimes you run into times during the year when you can't do this. You can't do this double chafifa. Let's say, for example, a woman is going to the mikvah on Friday night. It's a Friday night, and then obviously she has to do chafifa Friday afternoon. What if she's going to the mikvah on Motzai Shabbos? So now she has options. Either she can do the chafifa Friday afternoon for Motzai Shabbos, or she can do the chafifa on Motzai Shabbos. So what do you do under those circumstances? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the next man, Rabbi Tzimtalin. Chalak loves Motzai Shabbos. She yev shalachu from Yom Yom. She obviously can't do it Shabbos afternoon. Talk about El Tfilosa. So Shulchan Aruch says he should just do the chafifa on Motzai Shabbos and finish. It's not a great surprise that the Shulchan Aruch says this because it's Lashitoso that he paskens like the view of the Shultas that the Ikar chafifa is a night anyway. So even on a Tuesday night, the Ikar chafifa, according to the Mechaber, is on Tuesday night, not the Yom Yom. And on Motzei Shabbos, obviously there's no choice to do anything with Yod Yom, so you just do everything Motzei Shabbos and finished. However, the Ramah begins to change things. The Ramah writes, "Umikom lochom benegiyafu shetirchot hetei be'er Shabbos, but Motzei Shabbos ta'asho v'tocho v'tishrot ma'at." So a little bit of a confusing line of the Ramah. So the Ramah says that, no, the woman goes to the mikvah Motzei Shabbos, so the proper custom is she should actually wash herself very well on Friday afternoon, and then have a little bit of a follow-up, a touch-up job on Motzei Shabbos. Let's see what the Rambam's talking about. So first of all, when in the olden days, bathing on Friday afternoon wasn't such they weren't sitting in bathtubs, they weren't sitting, in the shower, throw a little hot water in them in the cool of the day. So here, the Rambam is saying she should really do the bulk of her preparations on Friday afternoon, and then just patch it up a little bit on Motzei Shabbos. What's pshat in the Rambam? So there are two different ways of reading the Rambam. So there are some who say that the Rambam basically holds like the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam basically passes like the Shulchan also, that we really want the Ikar Tefillah to be on Motzei Shabbos. Is that to do the whole Tefillah on Motzei Shabbos, that's till Shabbos is over, to the Beit Abdullah, till they sing El Yohanavi, till she gets to soon. It's going to be 1 o'clock in the morning. She's going to go start sitting in the bath and showering at that point. So that's really going to be a big problem. She's going to be in a rush, and she's not going to do the Chavivah properly. So therefore, the Ramah threw his hands up as his lace brayer, even though we really, really want to get Chavivah to be Motzei Shabbos. But we're going to tell him to do a little bit Friday afternoon, because otherwise, she's never going to have to make fun time. That's how some read the Ramah. Others read the Ramah, no. Ramah is fundamentally disagreeing with the Shulchan Aruch. Ramah is paskening like Rashi, that the Ikar Chafifa is really in the daytime. That we really don't like Chafifas at night. We really want Chafifas in the daytime. And therefore, that was the Lashon of Ramah. Shetadiach hetei be'er Shabbos. The real washing should be on Friday. And Motzei Shabbos, ma'at. Rov and Ma'at makes it sound like the Ikar one is the first one, and the touch of God is the second one. So according to many, Reb Shad Ramon Sway comes out to the Ramon in the sense of returning to Shulchan Aruch and saying that Ikar Chafifa is really the Yod Yom, which would have an impact for regular night also. That means, our meaning is we do a little Chafifa by day, a little by night, but if you want to know which is the main one, if you have a choice which one to go for, so the Shulchan Aruch says go for the later one, and the Ramon would now be saying go for the earlier one. So that's how the Shach read this Ramah, it's a long, long shach, it'll be through the whole shach, yeah. There's a long shach, but the shach says that's what the Ramah meant. And not only is that true on a weeknight, the Ikar Chafifa is Bibi Yod Yom, on a Motzei Shabbos, it's also true, even though there's going to be a break, there's going to be a 28-hour difference between when you took the shower and you went to the mikvah, it's okay, that's right, that's fine. You should just do a little bit of a touch-up job on Motzei Shabbos. So this now becomes an afkamin levina. How do you read this Ramah? So our minhag is that the women of the minhag today is, when a woman goes to the mikvah, what's a Shabbos? So we tell her to get ready on Friday afternoon, and then we tell her to re-get ready on what's a Shabbos a little bit more. The question is, when is the bulk of the chafifa? It might have been enough years ago in the bath. So we mentioned last week that we have a minute, a woman take a half-hour bath before they go to the mikvah. Not the eager did, but it's a proper minute we should observe. So Shabbos, when is the bath supposed to take place? If you hold that the eager pshah in the Ramah is that it's what's a Shabbos is the chafifa, we should take the bath what's a Shabbos. If you hold that the Ikar Pshat and Ramah is that the Friday afternoon is the Chafifa, you should take the bath on Friday afternoon. So there are Chilukei Deis, different opinions. There are different communities, different opinions within our own community. Different Rabbanim within the greater area give different suggestions. The fear is deity. I think that the more correct thing to do is take the bath on Friday afternoon. I think that's borne out more by the Lashon of Ramah. Ramah's Lashon was, we saw before, which is Tirchot Hetev, we have Shabbos. When it comes to Matzah, Shabbos says Ma'at. So Hetev and Ma'at. Hetev means big, means a lot, the good one, and Ma'at means just a little bit of a backup. So now the Shach is a big, big believer of, he's almost the biggest anti Chafifas at night. He thinks Ikra Din is like Rashi, and he thinks the Rabbah holds that way, and we should practice that way. And therefore the Shach says that that would be true even if there's going to be a bigger than a one day break between the Chafif and the Tefillah. Let's say, Marshall, this, let's say this year, the way Yom Tov falls out, a woman has to go to the mikvah, let's say, we'll go through each case. Next week, the woman has to go to the mikvah Friday night. It's like a regular Friday night. She does the Chafifa Friday afternoon, goes to the mikvah Friday. What if her Zman is to go to the mikvah on, let's say, Shabbat, the first night of Yom Tov? So here, she's not even going to have the opportunity to do a Chafifa Ma'at on Yom Tov night. She's not going to be able to comb her hair on Yom Tov night. She's not going to be able to wash herself really well the other night. Unless she can wash a little bit of hot water, a little bit of cold water. That's where the Yom Tov shadow, which she kind of can't do. But she's not going to be able to have a real McCoy Chafifa on Yom Tov night. So it doesn't matter. So she does it on Friday afternoon. And she goes with the Shabbos and fine. What about if our Leil Tefillah is Sunday night? So now we're already stretching out the time between the Chafifa and the Tefillah. So be it. So you have to do it then anyway. What if our Leil Tefillah is Monday night? Now Monday night, it's already the Yom Tov. So Monday night, she can already start taking a shower and bath on Monday night. The only problem is, but we don't like to do that, because the Shach is the biggest believer that you have to do everything maybe on Yom. He doesn't want to do things late at night. So even the Shach agrees to that. The Shach says, a 3-day Yom Tov, such a break, such a long, long, long break. So based on the Gemara, that doesn't need to. There's such a long amount of time that doesn't to the Tefillah that we really don't like. And even we, who are the biggest believers of the Chafifa maybe on Yom, will tell a woman under those circumstances to do the Chafifa Botsoi Yom Tov Shein on Monday night. The only thing is, the Shach says, we'll still tell her to start the ball rolling Friday afternoon. We don't want to do everyone away for everything. So she's going to get, it's going to be 3 days later, so she's going to get, she's going to have to start all over again. She'll do a little bit of a token something. So I think this is what Ayud said, is correct, a little token something. She's taking the bath, taking the shower anyway, Friday afternoon. So I recommend if a woman by some chance, a little tefillah next Monday night, she should take a shower Friday afternoon and go through her hair well Friday afternoon and do whatever little preparation she can. Even knowing full well she's not going to be for another 72 hours, and then obviously Monday night when it's over, she'd have to start from scratch and do a real solid chafifa. So the bottom line is, we still have a somewhat unresolved machlokes from the Gemara, from the Rishonim, into the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, the Shach. What's the big aim? What's the real aim of chafifa? Are we really truly aiming for a day chafifa, or really truly aiming for a night chafifa? And then I guess we try to aim for both. Everybody happy if we can the chatchila, and when you have Shabbos and Yom Tov, so things get all a little mixed up. We try to get his chafifa done as best as possible. Sometimes you have a situation where, hopefully we'll talk about this more, we get the chatzitzas, when a woman goes to the mikvah on a Friday night, or more often on the Yom Tov, the second night Yom Tov, or 3-day Yom Tov type of the setup, so we like to have a non-Jew fairly accessible, be able to help us. Sometimes a woman's hair gets knotted up, other things that have to be removed, that may involve showers of melacha, showers of Yom Tov. So it's always good for a mikvah to have accessibility to a non-Jew to be able to do certain things that we'll talk about what is mutter, what's not mutter. So as we go on through Hilchos Chatzitzos, we had I don't know what we have set up now. I remember that in some of the years we have 3-day Yom Tov, one after another, Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres scenarios. So we used to have a non-Jew literally on call to be able to be available at moment's notice. So I think we actually even had, if I'm not mistaken, only 1 year. We actually had somebody in the mikvah itself, but not Jew, we paid to sit in the mikvah for those three weekends in a row to be available for all kinds of shots. I don't know what the setup is for this year. Okay, so we continue now. So we're going to move on to the next major topic, and that's going to be the topic of chatzitzas. So everything we've been talking about is just to make sure that we don't have any chatzitzas. We do the chafifas to make sure there are no chatzitzas. And now we have to begin to analyze what exactly are the halachas, what are the parameters of the chatzitzas. So the Gemara begins, it's on page 40. It's a famous Maamar Chazal that appears in a few places. It appears in Masechet Nidah, it appears in Masechet Sukkah. On page 40, it's Maamar Mokum number 1, begins with Klali Chatzitza. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Devar Torah, Rubo Hamakbar Alav Chotzeitz, Min HaTorah is only a problem of chatzitza if you have two conditions that are met. It has to be rove, it has to be on most of the person's body, and it has to be something that the person is not, that the person cares about. They would really, as soon as they find out about it, they're going to run to go remove it. If both of those conditions are met, that constitutes a chatzitza on a level of the araisa. How do Rabbi Yitzchak know this? The Gemara says, this was halacha Moshe Messina. The Gemara says, there are many areas of halacha Moshe Messina, but there are three that Chazal somehow lump together. Shiurin, chatzitza, v'chitza, halacha Moshe Messina. The halachas of shiurin, the halachas of dalaramis, and kezayis, and kebeis, and those kinds of halachas are halacha Moshe Messina. Otherwise, where would we have these seemingly arbitrary numbers from? These are pure traditions back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shiurin mechitzas, the halacha ben gavur hilchos mechitzas, you can build a sukkah, you can have a schach posel within the alamas, tofen akumas, the dim of lava, less than three tfachim breaks, omen rila par, a lot of details, look at mechitzas, or halacha Moshe Sinai, and the chatzitzas are halacha Moshe Sinai, the intricacies of what is a chatzitza, what's not a chatzitza, the fact that there's a bit of a chatzitza itself, and we're learning that from sukkim, v'rochas is called b'sar b'mayim, sh'lo yinu v'chotzis b'nolo ben amayim. The fact that it's a basic halacha of chatzitza, that's even written in the Tosha itself. But what is a chatzitza, what's not a chatzitza, is pure Tosha about that. And the basic two conditions are rubo ha-machbid. So it has to be on most of your body, and something that the person really cares about. That's their answer. However, rubo ve'eino machbid alav eino chatzitz, if it's a robe that you don't really care about, then it wouldn't be a problem in a Torah. Now, with the Rabbanan, and everything becomes different. For gozra rubo she'eino machbid, rishim rubo ha-machbid. Since Min HaTorah, you need both conditions to be present to be a chatzitza, Chazal instituted that if either condition is present, that also poses a problem. So they made a gezeirah with the Rabbanon, if it's a rov she'eino machbid. So let's say a person, she's all covered up with something, but she doesn't care about it, it's fine, she'll leave it that way for forever. So that's not a problem in HaTorah, because it's lacking the condition of machbid, but it is a problem of Min HaRabbanon. And similarly, the gozu al miot ha-machbid b'shuburu ha-machbid. And similarly, they were going and made a gezeira on a mir hamakbid. It's a very, very small amount, but she doesn't want it there. She's going to remove it. So that's also a problem with the Rabbanon. So yes, the Gemara believes in Ami Amito she'eino makbid. So why don't we make a gezeira the Rabbanon on a mir she'eino makbid? It's a very, very small amount that she doesn't care about. She mir hamakbid. So the Gemara says, no, he goof a gezeira, make a mir gezeira. That would be a violation of the principle of ein gozer in gezeira with gezeira. The Gemara tells us that you're not supposed to make Chazal, not supposed to make a gezeira to protect a pre-existing gezeira. You're supposed to make gezeiras to protect it in the araisa. But once there's one gezeira in place, then you make another gezeira to make sure you don't mess up the first gezeira. That's really too much. Rashi points out that we learned that idea from a pasuk. The Gemara never tells us what the source of that idea is. Rashi says it's based on a pasuk. But it says u'shmarta mishmarti. The Torah says that you have to make mishmeres. You have to make mishmeres to the Torah. So the Rambam writes this introduction to the Perish of Shnayim, then it says Mishnah Torah, but that's Ram Shadim in HaTorah, that was Nimsal the Moshe Rabbeinu. That Jerash and Mishmatis, Mishmatis, the Rambam says, the Pia Shmuel Lomdu, the Pia Moshe Rabbeinu, we have learned that there's an obligation on the days then to make Mishmaros, to make Gezeiros, to make Siyogim, and all the Din of the Rabbanon that we have, the Chuzmuchtas and the Bishalakum, everything we have in the Rabbanon, are all fulfillment of this Mitzvah in HaTorah, Mishmatis, Mishmati. Rashi writes that Mishmatis, Mishmati, we have to guard the Torah below Mishmeres to Mishmeres. Don't make a gzeira under their abundance. Don't overdo it. Guard a Mishmeres Torah. Don't guard your own Torah. Don't guard your own Torah. Make one Torah and add Kabbalah Yisrael. We gave a shiur a couple of weeks ago trying to explain what the longness of that is. You mentioned in the Shal Shiddush a few weeks ago that perhaps that din is related to the Rambam as a Chiddush of his Namrim. That when the Chachamim make Gezeiras the Rabbanon, so they have to present it as the Rabbanon. They can't misrepresent it as Dinim in the Raisa. If they go ahead and they say that Muktzah is also in the Torah, they tell everybody Mishalach is also in the Torah, that's a violation of Tosef. You're adding on to Mitzvah Torah. You have to be clear demarcation, what's the Raisa, what's the Rabbanon. So maybe that's the reason why it goes in Gezeira and Gezeira. Because if you make Gezeira and Gezeira, so you basically elevate it, you basically put up on a pedestal the Din D'Rabbanan, and you say, this Din D'Rabbanan is so harsh and it's so important, we have to make Gezeiras to it. We have to make Gezeiras to it. It's enough to make Gezeiras in their Isis. If you make Gezeiras with D'Rabbanan, so you're basically equating D'Rabbanan with their Isis, which is a violation of Tosef. That was a suggestion a few weeks ago, maybe that Rambam was connected to this Rashi of Engos and Gezeiras. But the bottom line, whatever the longness is, that's the din, that we don't make gezeiros and gezeiros. And therefore,
Min HaTorah, the model of Chatzitza, is Ruba HaMakbid. Min the Rabbanan, if either one of those conditions is present, we have a problem. If neither one of those conditions is present, then we don't have a problem even with the Rabbanan. That's what we practice. Adayim is that a meal, Shein HaMakbid, is not a problem. The only thing is, the Rama writes that Chatzitza, we like to tell people they should remove all Chatzitza, even meal, Shein HaMakbid. Why? Because it gets tricky. We'll see as we go on, hopefully there's a big, but Chalekis in the post-give, how do you define Makbid? It's a simple, different opinion, different ways of defining what's called a Makbid or not. So the Rama writes, you don't want to get into any shams. A woman has a little something on her body, even though it's a miut, but it's technically not Makbid. After the chayim, we recommend that she takes it off. The minute we take it off, we don't want to get into trouble. But the ikir adin, it's not a problem. Therefore, the stuff we can't get off, we'll let her go to the mikvah. Or more often than not, she went to mikvah already, she comes back, oh yeah, yeah, she realizes, she found a little speck of clear nail polish, she gets a little nervous. So the question the Rama always asks is, do you care about it? If you weren't going to the mikvah tonight, and you happen to notice this little drop of nail polish, would you go run to go take it off? Crazy, why don't I take it off? I'll leave it there, it's going to fall by itself anyway, don't concede it anyway. So that's a response, that's a miyach in a mikvah, then the ikvah then is mutar, and there's no need at all to go back to the mikvah. So we have different degrees of chatzitzas. We have the chatzitzas d'araisa of Ruba HaMakbid. We have the chatzitzas d'rabbanan of either Makbid or Rogue. And then we have what's not a chatzitza at all. That's the Torah's minhag l'chatchila. That's a miut she'ein HaMakbid. It should be obvious that 99.99% and not 100% of the time, we never ever have a shayla of a chatzitza d'araisa. It would be ludicrous to have a shayla of a chatzitza d'araisa. It would basically be tempted about to say the woman just went mudsliding. She's filthy from head to toe with mud, and she really, really wants to get that mud off. She's very upset about it. But before she goes to take it off, she goes to be tumbled with the just take a shower later. Right now, she's tumbled with the mud from head to toe. That would be a chatzitza d'araisa. Again, highly unlikely that's going to happen. All the chatzitzas that we have today are all problems of the rabbanos. She left her contact lenses. Maybe that's a problem. Maybe it's not a problem. She forgot to take off some of the nail polish. Maybe it's another. She's got a bandage. She got stitches. She got this. She got the cat. All these different key things. These are all potential problems. You have to take them seriously. They're all problems with the rabbanon. But again, I love their rice. It's highly unlikely such a thing should exist. There is a, I think I didn't put on, I put the Rashi in my book, I was supposed to say it, to the Tashma Pet. It could be with Rashi on the Gemara, whatever it is. There's a Rashi. But Rashi says a very cryptic statement when it comes to the definition of robe. After all, robe is such an important component of the Chatzitza. So Rashi, when the Gemara describes the principle of robe and meal and Makbid, in the Makbid, Rashi says the Sugi is talking about Chatzitza in the hair. The Gemara says that not only is there a problem with Chatzitza in the body, there's a problem with Chatzitza in the hair as well. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim, Baruch says, coldness of the Mayim, Esa Tophilim Sorrow. That S is considered to be part of the body, even though it's not really the flesh, it's not literally the basar. The Tesha of that tells us you have to total the hair as well. So Rashi comments when the Gemara says in Ruba HaMakbid, Rashi says the Sa'aras, that most of the hair is a robe, and most of the hair has a chatzitza on it, and that's something that you makbid, and that's a problem. So the Rishon was startled why Rashi says that. When Rabbi Yitzchak made a statement that Ruba HaMakbid is a problem, Rabbi Yitzchak wasn't only talking about hair, he was talking about tefillah in general, he was talking about bodies and hair and everything. Why did Rashi feel compelled to stick in this seemingly unnecessary, seemingly irrelevant phrase of, oh, by the way, everything we're talking about is talking about on the Seir. What's the pshat in Rashi? What was the meaning of that Rashi? So Tosfos has a startling pshat in Rashi. They reject it themselves, they don't think this is right, but they think Rashi held an unbelievable chiddush. They think that Rashi held, when do we find all these kulas, so to speak, that's only called the chatzitza, deraisa, and you have rov, and you have mak, and all these conditions are met, then only there is chatzitza deraisa? So Tosa says, that's Rashi, that's chatzitza on the hair. Chatzitza on the basar, chatzitza on the body, everything's a problem. But then there's no din of rov, no din of mak. If there's a dover, achaitzitz, any dover achaitzitz on the body, any shape or form, it's automatically a problem, midaraisa. That could, if that statement of those would be true, that could turn Nuchas Chatzitzas upside down. We usually go into Nuchas Chatzitzas with a mindset, something there are abundance, and It's not also the Rabbanan, but we have to know, you know, what's it, as the Rambam said, you know, what's the right, what's the Rabbanan. So I usually take this all of the Chassidus, well, it's only a problem with the Rabbanan. So, you know, that pocket, we always think it, you know, we have reason to be a little more make of the Rabbanan. Comes to us, the Dash Rashi turns the whole world upside down and says, no, it's not true. A Chassidus in the hair is the Rabbanan, a Chassidus in the body. All the rules of Roman Machmet don't apply to the Chassidus in the body. A startling Chiddush for Dash Rashi. So Tosa suggested that that's Rashi, and immediately says that if that's a Rashi meant, then he's not right. We're not even sure that's a Rashi meant, but if that's a Rashi meant, then he's not right. How did Tosa know for a fact that he's not right? Based on a famous Gemara in Yavamas, who spoke about this Gemara in many, many different contexts. The Gemara in Yavamas is not really talking per se about Chatzitza, but it makes a comment about Chatzitza that's relevant. The Gemara spoke about Hilchos Gerus. The Gemara spoke about a Shaila. If a non-Jewish woman comes to convert, and she happens to be pregnant, she wants to convert, and she wants to know she's going under the water. So what's the status of the baby? Is the baby converted with the tefillah of the mother? So does the baby require its own tefillah when it's born? The Gemara says, Amar B'Yochanan, that Ruberish and Zgaira, a pregnant woman that converts, benoit tzarech tefillah. The baby, 6 months later, the baby born, does not require a tefillah. So the Gemara says, why is that? What's Pshat Rabbi Yochanan? So the Gemara has two different interpretations of why Rabbi Yochanan said what he said. The din is true, nobody argues with the statement of Yehuda, we pass that this is Shulchan Aruch, that Mubarish is Gad, but not Tefillah, but it's unclear in the Gemara, is what is the rationale for this halacha. So the Gemara presents it in two very, very different ways. So one way of understanding this din of Yehuda is based on the principle called Uber Yerach Imo. But the general shas type of a question, how do you view the relation between a pregnant mother and the fetus? Do we say little Yerach, it's like a leg, it's like a third leg of the mother? Holds on, the woman's pregnant, so the fetus doesn't have its independent existence, but rather the fetus is literally part and parcel of the mother's body. So she's got two arms and three legs now. She has an extra quote-unquote leg, uber yerachim, it's part of the mother's body. This is not a gayrus issue, this is a kultur kula issue. The Gemara has nafkaminas in Hilchos Nezikin based on this. Let's say if a pregnant animal damages, so can you collect only from the mother, can you collect from the value of the baby also? The Gemara sugyas in the Sechas Temura. If you have an animal that's a korban and something goes wrong to the mother, does that impact on the status of the fetus as well? So this is a shaila that permeates kol tarkula, and it presents itself here in Yavamis as well. So one of the Gemara says that we follow the view of Uber Yerach Imo, and therefore the reason why the baby, the fetus, doesn't need a tefillah, because it's part of the mother's tefillah. When a woman converts, her whole body converts, her arms, her legs, her stomach, her kidneys, everything converts, so her baby converts as well. And the baby is born, so of course he's Jewish, he already was Megayar, as part of the mother's gayrus. Then the Gemara backtests and says, we're not so sure that we even pass him that way. Maybe we hold the halacha like the other view in the Gemara Tzimur, that Uber Lavi Archivo. Uber Lavi Archivo, so then how do we explain away why the baby doesn't require a tevila? The Gemara says it's based on a different principle in Gemara. It's based on the principle that the Uber is an independent entity from its mother, separate, distinct from the mother. But the Maisa, the Uber went under the water. At the end of the day, the Uber was immersed in water. When the mother's body goes under the water, so the fetus went under the water as well. So the Uber, according to this opinion, is not part of the mother's gerus. There are two gerusim that are going on here. That's what they do, the race of the Shaila. What if the patient doesn't know if the woman's pregnant? So if you all like the first draft, then it's part of the mother's tefila. So what if the Beis Din doesn't know that she has three kidneys? So let me know the kidneys yet. Her whole body converts. So the Beis Din knows that Rachel's converting. So whatever's part of Rachel is converting. What do they know? They don't know that she's pregnant. But if you hold that the Uber is Lavi Arimo, it's a separate independent Geirus, and the Beis Din doesn't even know that they're watching two Geirus. They think they're watching one Geirus. So what if didn't be two people are converting, Beis Din thinks they're watching one, and they don't realize the other guy is a small guy, he jumps in behind the other. They didn't even see the Geirus. They didn't even know they're watching a Geirus. Maybe that's a problem. So there's all discussion about that topic. The Gemara says that you hold Uber Lavi Archimo. So how do you understand this Geirus? It's an independent Geirus that the Uber, the fetus, went under the water himself. So we ask the Gemara, gosh, wait a second. The Uber goes under the water himself, but I'm talking about Chatzitzas. There are different Chatzitzas, and if it's Geirus, Tfilas Geirus, like in Tfilas Nida. So it's unbelievable chatzitza. The whole body of Uber surrounded by the mother's body. The Gemara says, no, not so fast. Maybe this is not a chatzitza. Why is it not a chatzitza? Because, let's go back to our sugya, Maseches Nida. On a level of deraisa, you need two conditions to be a chatzitza. It has to be a rove and another makbid. This is rove, right? This is pretty rove, more than rove. But it's not makbid because the baby is very happy.
to be covered by the mother. The mother's in her fifth month, he doesn't want to come out so fast. So he's more than happy to be surrounded by the mother's body. So that's called Rubo She'eino Machbid. And it's a Rubo She'eino Machbid, that's not a problem on a level of Deraisa. So Gemara says, no, it's still a problem. Why is it still a problem? Because when do we say there's a rule of Machbid? That's when it's only a rove. But if it's kulo, if it's an entire, the woman has something from head to toe, literally, even if she's not knocked on it, that would still pose a problem on the level of Deraisa. So Gemara is back to square one. So why is this okay? What happened to the Hilchos Chatzitza? So Gemara finally concludes, no, you know why it's not a Chatzitza? For a different reason, again, right? Haina Revisayu. This is the normal, natural way of growing. Chatzitzas are artificial things. Chatzitza means a woman has a ring on. So that's not part of her body. That's not a natural thing to grow. That's Chatzitza. She has a bandage, she has a cast, she has stitches, she has makeup. That's the parasha of Chatzitzas. But when you have a natural way, the virtual creator of the world, that a kubur is surrounded by the mother's body, that's what grows, that's not a Chatzitza. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this in all places, in the Tefillin, he quotes this in Gemara. He says that it's Machlokes Rishonim, but it's a problem with Chatzitza, like Tefillin. Let's say a person has a bandage on the head, the mice on the head, on top of the bandage, so the Rush holds that's a problem. You're not here to fill this din of chatzitza. The Rashi says there's no such thing, no din of chatzitza by tefillin. So we try to be machlo chatzitza, at least try not to have to fill another bandage. So the Shabur quotes the Achmarim and say, what about a person's hair? The person has hair in the head, so the hair is a chatzitza. That's a joke. Why is that a joke? That's growing. How do we say it? It's a natural way of growing. So the Shabur quotes him, some Achmarim say, what if it's not the natural way of growing? What if the guy's got some kind of a shunna dicka hairdo? He's got hair coming from here, hair from here, he's moving his hair around. So is that still called Hanu Rishayu? Not so partial anymore. That gets more complicated. So, what if it's very, 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 very long hair? Not a normal hair.
Nazir.
What? Nazir. So the Mishnah Berurah puts the Chachamim more nervous if it's very, very long hair. We usually assume very, very long hair is okay. Unless the guy's not playing, what kind of pashkin around and bringing his hair from what kind of, he's been machine to get hair dudes, so then maybe you want to go to the chatzitza problem. So when all the dust settles, the Gemara says that there's no real chatzitza problem by the geiras, and the reason being, because how do we recite it? But Tosa says, what do you see from the Gemara's discussion? From the fact that the Gemara was tumbling about the problem, the Gemara took the problem very seriously. The Gemara said, wait a second, is it a Rome, is it not a Rome, is it yes, and back and forth about it. Well, wait a second. According to what we said, according to Rashi, that all the clothes of chatzitza only apply to the hair, they don't even apply to the body. When it comes to the body, everything's a problem. So why did the Gemara just say, oh yeah, it's the body problem, it's the real problem. Why did the Gemara even get sidetracked? Because we're not but not machbid, cool about the back and forth, the back and forth. Yeah, see, from here, says Tosfos, that notwithstanding the fact that we're talking about chatzitza on the body, all the regular kulas and regular rules that govern chatzitza supply are also Rashi's bumps against the Gemara. So Tosfos says, if Rashi meant what he said, then he's against the Gemara. What did he mean? He must have meant something else. Tosfos doesn't give you another option, doesn't give you another idea as to what Rashi said. So we have to salvage Rashi, because if you read Rashi in Pshuto, that all he meant to say was that chatzitzas only on the hair are problematic in terms of Ruba Machbids, but chatzitzas on the body are just always a problem. There's no coolness, no leniencies whatsoever, then Rashi gets to the Pershing Gemara. So Rashi must have meant something else. What was that something else? So the Ritva offers an alternate pshat that that's Rashi. So in order to appreciate where the Ritva is coming from, I have to take just a quick background to appreciate the Ritva's pshat that that's Rashi. And it goes back to what we said before, that when a woman goes to the mikvah, or a man goes, or in the case goes to the mikvah, there are two parts that have to go under the water. You have to have the body has to go under the water, and the hair has to go under the water. How do we know that? Rachat es kol b'sar b'mayim. Es a top of b'sar, es comes to include the hair as well. So there's a major machlekes in Rishonim. We spoke about this time, everyone was at the shiur on Wednesday night. We did the shiur before the dinner, so we came up in passing this particular detail. We mentioned that there's a big machlekes in Rishonim, how to understand pshat of this bit. This halacha that, you go to the mikvah, you have to tovel your hair, and you have to tovel your body. How do you understand that? Are these two separate, distinct halachas? You have to tovel both? Or is the hair considered to be part of the body itself? Sounds like semantics, but that's the meaning of the cold difference in the world. Hopefully, in the next year, we have to go back to that sugi a little bit better and understand the loveness of the relationship between Tfilas Abbas and Tfilas Asaros, and perhaps put a little bit of a better perspective on Tfilas Rashi. The way Rashi stands the way it is, the way Tosalim Shad Rashi, the very difficult Rashi seems to be against each other. Okay. So next week is, I'm sure, Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Okay.